One Custom Car Care.
All right, good morning and welcome. You've got Sarah and Dustin, A1 Custom Car Care. Sarah, got some questions for you.
Go for it.
What do you think about this weather? I think we started the last show like that, but it has been beautiful here in Missouri.
It has, but I'm a little self-conscious about it because are we going to get winter again? Who knows?
Like a late, you know, crazy
exactly.
storm.
Something in March or April. Yeah.
So Doug Hetty is the meteorologist out in Joplin. Have you ever heard of him?
I don't think so.
So I don't know what news outlet he works for, but he has a YouTube channel, Hetty Weather, I think, or Doug Hetty, how you can find it. I really like his... He does this long range forecast, like 30 days out.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy's usually pretty good. And he talks about the La Nina and the El Nina. And I'm not a weather guy, so forgive me. I mean, I enjoy the weather. Don't get me wrong. It's fascinating. But I wouldn't say I'm a student of it by any means. However, you know, I want to be informed as much as the next fella. And he really does a great job putting that out there. And he talks about these cycles, and the man's pretty accurate, honestly. His stage presence, if you will, is good.
Mm-hmm.
And his long-term forecast is pretty good. Do you know what it was in Alaska here recently? Now, I know everybody thinks it's cold and whatnot, but the Arctic air that we had essentially has been pushed up and is sitting up there from what he did on his, long range forecast, if you will. It was like negative 28 degrees out there.
No, thank you.
Now, that is Alaska, and I realize those are probably harder people than here in Missouri. But that's, you know, I can remember as a child, we lived on the east side of Lake Michigan for quite a while as a kid. We lived in Galene, Michigan, and then LaPorte, Indiana, Michigan City, Indiana. And I can remember some negative 40s.
Ugh.
When I was a kid, as well as, and I'm sure you've seen it on the news, but, you know, you go outside with a cup of hot water and you throw it up and it freezes before it hit the ground.
Mm-hmm.
I have seen and done that in person.
Oh, have fun.
And it was really cool as a kid. I don't remember. I mean, I know it was cold, but I don't remember that being a big negative. We had weather gear and we would go out and we'd have snow forts and sled runs and all that stuff. It was very cool as a kid. And it really wasn't as dampening as it is here when it snows. You know, it wasn't a big deal because that's just what it was. You know, you had to live, you had to get out. But I'll tell you what, I'll take this weather over that any day of the week.
I don't blame you.
It is just beautiful to be the first day of February. I think we had the doors open on the shop, and I'm sure they will throughout, you know, this week and looks like even to next week. That is an awesome deal as a technician to be able to open the doors and work with the doors open.
Oh, I could imagine.
It's such a different game changer. Now, you know, the noise and the light and all that stuff, you know, there's goods and cons to the whole thing, but it makes such a difference in you know, the work environment, if you will, being able to have the doors open and kind of somewhat work outside. And
right, and get that fresh air.
Oh, yeah. And the natural lighting as well. I still have very good vision. It's not as good, I can tell, as it was as I was a little bit younger, but I guarantee it's 20/20 still. But the natural lighting allows me to see so much better. And when we built the new shop, which have you been to the new shop since
we opened it? No, I have it on my to-do list.
You know, I realize I'm biased. I'm very biased, and that's fine. But it is an amazing facility.
Who's the manager over there?
So Kevin is the manager. We need to have him on the show.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think maybe we had him on quite a while back. He's been with us a while. He's been in the industry quite a few years. I don't want to divulge that, but several decades at a minimum. So he's an industry person. And, you know, of course, we've got Dave in there, Jason, Cody. We have another Dave. So two Daves. And then Harlan and Carlos are both there. So it was so nice being able to develop and outfit a state-of-the-art shop, I guess, if you will. Really been a great experience, and every day that I get to work in there and show it off. There's been several tours. I enjoy, you know, taking people around and letting them see kind of what we're doing, how we're doing it, and why we're doing it makes, I think, a big, big difference. You know, we've got the digital inspection that we've talked about many times. So we're doing our level best. You know, I'd love to tell you we could have you out in the bays, but as anybody is in business now knows, insurance agents would lose their minds.
Right.
And we have an amazing insurance agent, and I like the guy, so I don't want him to lose his mind. So we do our very best making sure that we're making you all a part of the repair process, as well as, you know, taking care of your typically second largest investment and keeping you on the road. So
what are some things that you are seeing kind of common in the shop over the last couple of weeks?
So with the weird, crazy cold snaps, I'd say we saw as many batteries fail as I've ever seen.
I was going to assume that. Yeah. And then also probably tires as well.
Yep. And suspension work too.
Those potholes. Oh,
they're crazy.
They're all over the place.
And you talk about like some huge potholes right now.
Right.
I veered around a few on the way here. You know, you can damage a tire and you can definitely throw a vehicle out of alignment. And then you typically, I mean, if the steering wheel's off center after you hit a big pothole, obviously that's a problem. But there's a lot of times it incrementally happens and then you have tire wear problems. And I don't know, have you bought any new tires lately? And I'm not trying to sell you on any tires.
No, so I haven't purchased new tires. I don't even know if I have bought any on my new car.
Well, that's a positive.
Yeah, I don't think I have.
They're not getting any cheaper. I'm just going to let the
cat out of
the
bag. I figured they wouldn't.
They are very much a petroleum-based product. Most of them are made overseas because the emissions it takes to make tires is pretty caustic. And so here in the States, there's much less tolerance for that, good and bad. I understand both sides of that coin. But hitting those potholes, so I'm going to tell on somebody. I don't know who this somebody is. But when we had the ice, you know, we did the landscaping there at the new store. So please admire it because that was a lot of hard work by our whole team when you come and visit. But I planted a very beautiful little evergreen. It's, I think the city says it needs to be ornamental. So it was part of our city code we had to comply with. So we did. And at 1:30 in the morning when we got that ice, somebody ran over one of my trees.
No.
They got out. I can see them on the camera. It was a little red SUV of some kind. They were cutting through my parking lot, which really just grinds my gears, for lack of a better polite way to put it. So he loses it and slides sideways, runs into my beautiful, and I'm talking about team effort landscaping job here, and then runs over my tree, which was like $400, by the way. So this wasn't like a $50 tree.
Yeah.
And so I can see all this through the camera. Like I said, 1:30 in the morning, what you're doing out during an ice storm at 1:30. Hopefully, you know, it was important. Gets out, looks at my tree and drives off. Doesn't leave a note, doesn't say nothing. I'm like, man, you know, it. And I'm not overly torqued. The guy hopefully wasn't hurt over it. But I bring all that up to say, hey, when it's, you know, crappy weather, you probably should stay home.
Yeah.
And not cut through my parking lot and run over my trees. I feel like...
Your $400 one at that.
$400 trees. You know, as I'm sitting here telling the story, you ever... Was it Back to the Future 2? I think it was. Where it was the twin pine.
Yes.
And then when he runs over the tree, it was the lone pine.
Uh-huh.
I'm the lone pine guy because that was one of my two trees. So I only got one now. I'm having a little pity party over here that somebody ran over my tree. But anyway, my point of that whole deal is with slick weather, we had quite a few people slide into either potholes, curbs of some kind.
Right.
And, you know, you would think that your suspension is really robust, but it's robust to hit moderate potholes going forward. Or in reverse. When you hit them laterally or sideways, they are not built to be very strong and robust, and they will bend, which part of that is so it absorbs the impact and you don't absorb the impact. Because your car, a lot of your safety features, airbags, etc., seatbelt, are designed for a front-end collision, rear collision. The side movement is very difficult on the human body. And the cars aren't, you're less likely to have a side impact. Not saying you can't. They're not designed to absorb it. So as the suspension folds or crumbles, it's absorbing that energy so you aren't the ping pong ball inside of it. So lots of suspension repairs and that equipment and the technology is getting more expensive. And so some of those have been high dollar repairs that we've worked with insurance companies to get people back on the road. There was a very nice lady who is a nurse here in Springfield. I need to check on her car and make sure it's all ready to go. I think we turned it back to her last week, but it was a Honda that had a lateral side. And so we had to put some suspension work in it to get her back in going and taken care of. But with this beautiful weather, we don't have to worry about it, at least for the time being. Sarah and I are going to take our first break. You're listening to 104.1 KSGF. We'll be right back after this.
Your complete car care solution. A1 Custom Car Care.
Welcome back. You got Sarah and Dustin, A1 Custom Car Care. I guess we gave you your weather report update last
That's
segment.
Right.
I can't help it. It's beautiful outside. I hope you all are taking advantage of it.
It is. Yeah. Last week, whenever it was really beautiful, we did a lot of outdoor walking and just different things like that. Noticed a couple of garage sales were going on.
Oh, really?
I didn't stop because I got a problem.
Are you a garage saler?
I love garage sales. Well, and you understand that.
I'm an auctioneer.
I was going to say, you're not a garage saler, but you do like the auctions. And so you've been doing a lot of used vehicles lately.
Yep. And
what's going on with that?
I've been seeing them come through the shop. And then a lot of family, friends, and customers that have become friends over the years, they have been, I don't want to say like hitting me up, but it's definitely been a big influx. I think, you know, and I know you and Ryan know all too well about this, the struggle bus that it was to get a used vehicle through COVID.
Yes.
It seems the tides are turning and there's deals out there. There's some significant, now they're with all the, pardon me, I went through puberty a long time ago, I promise. With the deals that are out there come, you know, some shysters as well. And it's not always like intentional shystering. Is shystering a word?
I think so.
I'm just going to put it out there. So if it's not, it is now. Anyway, there's potential to buy a lemon. And, you know, I'd like to tell you that I've never bought a lemon, but that's not true. I have bought lemons over the years because it was an impulse buy. I can tell you, and I'll just tell you exactly what it was. The very last one was a F-150 that I was very particular of what I wanted. I wanted rubber floor mats. I wanted manual transmission. I wanted four-wheel drive. And I wanted a six-cylinder. So I found the truck finally. And this was the red flag. The guy wanted like $1,300 for it. I didn't haggle him at all. It had some problems. It wasn't running all that well. And when I handed him $1,300, he gave me $100 back.
Oh.
And I've bought a lot of vehicles over the years. I've never had anybody give me money back. You know, I've haggled and dickered. I'm not a big fan of negotiation. I don't like it. I don't like when people do it to me, so I try not to do it to others. And when the old boy handed me $100 back, I'll never forget, like, that's probably a sign that he knows something's wrong with us. So the truck is still driving on the road to this day, by the way. I bought that probably maybe 12 or 15 years ago. And since then, my mom drives it now. It was something that, you know, ended up being a great farm truck for her. And I have, just off the top of my head, it has had a complete brakes all the way around. And I'm not just talking about pads. I'm talking about a rebuild. Rotors, pads, calipers, hoses. Repacked the wheel bearings or replaced the wheel bearings. I can't remember exactly how that one's designed. That's been probably 10 years ago or longer. The rear differential ended up going out, so I upgraded from a 10-bolt to a 12-bolt. Its ball joints have been done in it, upper and lower. Converted it from a drum brake system to a disc brake system with the same gear ratio. Had a brand new drive shaft built for it because I attempted to shorten myself because the ring gear on a 12-bolt is larger, so the drive shaft needs to be shorter. Just for anybody out there doing that. I have put a clutch pressure plate throw-out bearing in it, serviced all of the fluids in it. I put a new set of lifters in it last year, new oil pump, sending unit, intake gaskets. It's a 4.2 liter V6. Anybody out there that has one of those, more than likely, if you have a misfire on startup, which is the main cause of why I think the guy gave me the $100 back, is that he had run it before I got there, so it did not misfire on startup. But I was able to figure that out pretty quick. Was able to get that taken care of. I put a new headliner in the truck, new windshield in the truck, full AC system. So the AC probably still blows pretty cold. I'll have to check with mom and see how that goes. But long story short, I tell all of you that because that was my last emotional purchase. And when I say emotional, it's essentially exactly what I was wanting. So there was some logic put in there to it. But I ended up spending, and there's a lot of times I hear this from customers when I give a bid on something, well, that's more than I gave for the vehicle. Even with me doing the work and paying the parts, that was significantly more than I gave for the vehicle to do all that. But the reason that I still feel good, I would do it all again, even though I know it was a lemon. That vehicle's been on the road for, personally owned by us, or like I said, now my mom drives it, for well over a decade with zero car payments, okay? And so you all know, I've talked about it a ton on the show, that I recently bought a new-to-me truck. It's 2016 Duramax. If I can get 12 good service years out of that Duramax, I'm going to be happy as a clam. Now, if I get more than that, which I expect to, without any catastrophic failures, that's really what separates. And, you know, you talk about depreciation on a new vehicle, or putting more money in it than it's worth. In my mind, and just bear with me on this thought train here, it really doesn't come down to, is that truck worth it? It comes down to how many months or years, in this case, will I get to drive this vehicle without a truck payment? And I'll let that just kind of ruminate there with you for just a minute. The average truck payment, Sarah and I have done shows on this quite a few times. You know, I think the first show we did, I think the average payment was like $500. Now, with Joe Biden's economy and inflation here, I think the last reported number that Sarah and I put out was like $770. And that happens to be exactly what my truck payment is on that slightly used Duramax. So $770, that allows me to fix a lot of things. And I basically, when I decide whether I'm going to fix something or not, it doesn't come down to what the vehicle's worth. It comes down to how many months do I have to drive the vehicle for essentially my break-even point of the investment that I've made. Now, some of you out there are probably like, well, you're a mechanic, you do your own work, so it's so much cheaper. I'll tell you what, your time is not free and my time certainly is not free. There is a cost to that exchange of time, and it took me forever. Like when I was a younger kid and I was super broke, time wasn't worth a whole lot because I didn't have any money, okay? So it was easy for me to work days, weeks, months, or however long, grinding it out to save $50 because I didn't have $50. For most of you out there listening, I guarantee you probably got $50. Maybe it's not in your wallet anymore like it normally is. It's in a bank account somewhere, digital CBDC currency. Time counts, and parts aren't getting any cheaper. So say I put, and all that stuff I rattled off, if I had to guess, even at shop rates and paying for somebody else to do the work, say was $10,000 worth of an investment. It probably was more than that, honestly, but let's just go with a nice round number. That's a conservative, easy way for me to math this out. I would have needed to drive that vehicle for 7.7 years, so almost 8 years. Even with, like I said, full retail, paying somebody to drive it. Well, I know for a fact it's probably, and I'd have to look it up, it's probably closer to 12 years that that truck is still out serving and dependably running. Have we had a breakdown or two? Yeah, even recently. It happened to be my mom was over visiting. We were doing, you know, a little bit of maintenance on it, and the starter just gave out right there at the house. Well, I went and got her starter, threw it on there, and away she went. You know, that was a couple $100, say. Maybe even retail, probably $500 to $700. So when you think about that, that's a month. Let's say it was $770, just to keep things simple. And don't quote me on this and be like, I can't believe you'd charge that. I'm just doing some easy math here. So if you didn't miss that, that's what I'm doing here. That's 1 month of a car payment. Not to mention, here in the state of Missouri, you never own anything, so you're paying property tax on it for the entire time. So the longer I keep that thing on the road, the more property tax I got to pay on it. But it's like, I don't know, probably $30 a year or something, as well as, you know, the cost of ownership for that vehicle now is very low. And the other part of that that nobody really thinks about, and I don't know if I have enough time to get into this, we may end up going into the next segment. We went, Stacy and I, and went and bought a used vehicle for her this last weekend. And it had some problems. I know everybody's going to be shocked that I bought a vehicle that's that's broken. But I know the vehicle very well. It is on a F-150 frame. It's not an F-150. It's a Lincoln Navigator L, which is the extended wheelbase one. But it has the 5.43 valve. And I'll tell you what, if you're out there in Radioland, I've never made this bold statement, but I'm going to right now. And you got a 5.43 valve and somebody can't get to the bottom of it. Now, I'm not doing it for free, by the way, or the shop. Not that I do everything. I don't. We got an amazing group of folks. I'll tell you what, I know that platform inside and out and intimately. And so when I go and seek a vehicle, because I know them so well, I can identify problems with it before, you know, the general population ever would. And so that's what happened. We had a great car dealer down in Carthage is where we actually found it online. Drove down there with the truck and trailer because I had a pretty good hunch that it probably needed timing chains and had a variable valve timing issue. The guy that owns the car lot is what I would consider a good, reputable car lot. And so I showed him and made him feel what it is I felt when it acted up. And he was very apologetic. He said, we don't sell cars like this. You know, I'm sorry you guys drove a little over an hour to get to us. He did come in on a Saturday, which was awesome. Dude was fantastic. I believe the name was The Car Shop. It's in Carthage, Missouri. It's not a huge car lot. The guy does it because he's passionate about selling cars and he enjoys being able to fix them up and sell them. Great dude. And so long story short, we identified what was going on with it. We negotiated and I still bought the vehicle even though it had issues. Now, he did come down on the cost for me and I'm going to put more into the vehicle. I've ordered parts already than what he negotiated down. But where I'm coming from in this is, so say we spend a certain amount of money. We negotiate down because the car needed some service, which is very common in the used car market. But now the money that I'm putting back into the car was not money that I just paid for the car. Okay, we did pay for the car, obviously. The money that I'm putting into the car now, I know from this point forward, I'm benefiting from those dollars every mile that I get to use them. And that's why I like rehabbing and putting cars back out on the road that a lot of people would neglect is saving them. And the tax man gets less money. So I like that too. Sarah and I are down at the bottom of the hour. You listen to 104.1 KSGF. We're going to pick it up on the other side.
Your complete car care solution. A1 Custom Car Care.
All right. Welcome back, Sarah and Dustin. A1 Custom Car Care. Sarah, I know they text in and message in quite often.
Yes.
How do they go about doing that, if you don't mind?
So the best way to do that is to text our text line. That phone number is 417-447-5743.
So I don't have a magic eight ball, and a lot of people will ask me, hey, my car's doing such and such.
Right.
What is it? And that's part of the reason why I won't say that we don't take call-ins anymore, but people expected, and a lot of times I am right, by the way, and I'm not, that's not a flex by any means, but the biggest part of this show, Sarah, and call me out if you know, you've been sitting here listening to me for years at this point, is that I don't give out bad information intentionally. Like
right.
There's times where I'm wrong and my techs out there that listen to the show, anytime I do misspeak, oh my, it's like a golden nugget.
They give you the what
for,
huh?
Oh, yeah. You talk about like me coloring outside the lines. They love that, which is fine. It keeps me on point. It doesn't bother me at all. What I mean by that is I can give you the background or my insight or what should be tested in order to get to the bottom of a lot of these problems, but me being able to like magic eight ball diagnose it over the phone, I'd love to tell you I'm that good. It's just not reality. And these things that you plug into your data link connector or these apps that you get on your phone, they're information, but you have to know what to do with the information. It doesn't diagnose what's going on. No different than you go to the doctor. Basically, we were talking with some nurses that, you know, we're trying to work out for Brenly, which is Stacy and I's special needs daughter. And one of them, you know, saw me in uniform. They also saw my house and saw there's a car or two sitting out there that needs some attention that I've bought to rehab and move on to a new home. And she's like, oh, you know, do you have the thing that just tells you what's wrong with it? That was her words.
Uh-huh.
And I don't mean that in any kind of, I would love for her to be right. And the way I verbiaged it back to her was, you know, she obviously comes from medical background, had some medical training, was it's basically like going in and finding out you have high blood pressure. Whether you go into Walmart or you sit down at the little automated, do they have that still? I bet
I
with
think
COVID.
So.
I thought maybe they'd get rid of those.
No, I think they still have them.
As a kid, did you ever sit in those?
Yes.
I thought it was cool. That was my favorite thing to go to Walmart.
I used to do it at Kmart.
Oh, yes.
How about that?
Back in the day when Kmart was a big deal. I didn't know they had them at Kmart.
Mm-hmm.
Kmart always had some different items than Walmart.
I miss Kmart.
I do too. At least some variety out there, you know.
Right.
Now Walmart, and you know, I don't have anything bad against Walmart or Amazon. They're big box stores, and everybody knows how I feel about big box stores. but I digress. Anyway, you get high blood pressure, or it comes back on that little machine that tells you, or you know, somebody checks it and you find out you have high blood pressure. You don't just go over there and start eating pills. And that's the equivalent of people code scanning and then just going into big box parts store and then chucking parts at it. A, in today's market with the quality of parts, they're a disaster. One of my biggest pet peeves and problems with these big box stores, parts stores in particular, is they go to the lowest bidder or whoever they can get supply from. They flood the market with it. I install it on a car, or you do maybe out there in Radioland. And then it doesn't fix it. Or even better, now I have a different problem than I had before. And I'm like, you know what? I am just sick of quality being so crappy. It drives me up a wall. And now I'm not going to tell you that it doesn't happen to us, but we have commercial vendors that we deal with that supply us OE, which stands for original equipment, or better. They have a problem solver line out there that when they figure out that the manufacturer didn't build it right, okay, this is how we build it differently, and then the problem's fixed. Makes sense. Well, the dedication to that is really waning right now, is actually getting through. So I'll be honest, there's times where I'm going to pull the trigger on a known good used part on certain applications if I can't get a brand new part from the dealer or one of my aftermarket professional supply facilities. Then I would putting a part on from one of the big box stores that you see on every corner. And honestly, I don't care who, what color the building is. They're all selling some dormant junk. And I'm calling dormant out big time right now. They manufacture a lot of parts, and some of them are all right, and some of them really help us. But the majority or lion's share of what they're doing is very poor quality. And so in our shops, there are some dormant parts that I've authorized. Okay, this is acceptable. This is acceptable. Now, I did that not by using them on customers' vehicles. Some of them I have been burned, and obviously I know them that way. But the majority of it is when I'm rehabbing a vehicle for one of the kids or a loved one, I will try different part companies so I can try it on a controlled environment that I absolutely have max information on. And I know whether this is acceptable and works or whether this is acceptable and doesn't work. That's the difference between being a mechanic, is that, you know, some of the professions out there practice what they're doing. They literally call it, I have a medical practice, etc. And you can fill in the blank with the rest of the practices out there. I can't practice on your cars. Okay. I just won't do it. I've been doing this professionally for over 20 plus years. I've had 2 years of formal training. I grew up in a dealership household. This is what I have done my entire life by choice, not because I don't have any other skill set and I couldn't do anything else out there. Honestly, and this isn't me, I want as many skill sets as possible. Am I a mason or a bricklayer? No. Would I like to be informed and learn that? Yeah, for sure. Have I done some of it? Yes. And anybody that's been a hog carrier, which basically means you mix and feed the mortar and you feed the bricks to the masons, and then they lay the bricks and do an amazing job. You want to watch somebody that's extremely skilled? You look at a mason. Those folks are amazing craftsmen. And if there's some lady masons out there, my goodness, I tip my hat to you, because that is a very, very physically demanding job. As well, it's very high paced as a hog carrier. So I did that when I was younger, make a few extra bucks. Did pretty well at it, enjoyed it. I'll tell you what, you sleep good at night after doing that for 8 hours or 10 hours or whatever through the summer. Lots going on there. But the automotive field is my chosen profession. That is what I wanted to be since I was a little kid, and that's what I've devoted my adult career to be honest. And so when it comes down to repairing these cars, my focus, and you, even if anybody looks at like some of my personality profile stuff, we work with several to make sure that we're, you know, as healthy of a company as possible and that we're building teams, and that's very, very important. One of my highest, no matter what, whether it's a Kobe, whether it's a Disc profile or Hirewell Now, which is a company that we deal with, I think, out of West Plains, quality control is innate in my like personality. I just can't. And there's even times like, you know, on, you know, a personal vehicle or something, like, oh, that's good enough. I can't sleep at night after that. Like, you know, I may be tired and frustrated and I don't want to continue like really, you know, wringing it out to the max. And so I'll go in and I'll go to bed, take a shower, obviously, because this is a dirty job. Go to bed, and then I will sleep and dream about it. And then the next day when I got some more wind in my sails, a lot of times I'll tear whatever it is back apart and I will either update or fully, like to the nth degree, go to the max on the repair. And that's just how I'm wired. I can't help it any other way. And I'm very thankful to be surrounded by a bunch of folks that share in that passion. Now, does it take a couple of times to get it to the max highest quality? Occasionally, yeah. Sometimes I'll have to take a run at it once or twice. But at the end of it, that's A1 Customs Car Care name on that ticket, and we own that part of the car. So we need to step into one more break. Sarah and I will wrap this up in a nice little bow right after this.
Your complete car care solution, A1 Custom Car Care.
All right. Welcome back, Sarah and Dustin, A1 Custom Car Care. Sarah, you got some articles over there. I don't think we made it to last week.
Yeah, so we've got a couple of different recall alerts that are happening out there. So first, we have Honda. Honda, they are planning to fix an issue with their 2023 Honda HR-V SUVs that has prompted hundreds of consumer complaints about rear windows unexpectedly shattering. Can you imagine that?
You think that'd get your attention?
A little bit. And now some of these, I know it says in this report that actually owners have experienced this while they were driving.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So it, quite a scary situation. Now, of course, numerous complaints, they've been posted on the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration about, of course, the windows breaking spontaneously without any impact whatsoever.
Crazy.
So some HRV owners reported that the windows shattered, of course, while the vehicle was parked. Mm-hmm. While others witnessed it break after they entered the car, and some, like I had mentioned earlier, while they were driving. Now, Honda, they say that the issue is linked to the use of the HRV's rear defroster, which weakens the glass because the defroster's heating elements come into contact with the sealer that secures the rear window. Yes. So let me see when they're going to officially do the recall. I believe they said sometime at the end of February.
So that would be a tempered piece of glass. On an automobile, you have a laminated piece of glass in the windshield, but all of the other vehicle or windows, side and rear, are tempered. Sarah, have you ever tried to break a car window?
I have not, but you know,
you don't
I've,
have like a night job where you're like a burglar or anything
no,
like that.
I have not. I've not gotten to that type of low yet, but I'll let you know when I do. But I do have that little tool.
Oh, you do?
I do have the little tool that kind of looks like almost like an icicle.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's the best way to describe it. And then you literally can put it up to the window and then like push on it. And then it busts the window.
I've not seen that.
And it's so it's supposed to be for if you're ever in a situation, of course, like say you have a car accident. Yeah. And you need to be able to get out of your vehicle quickly. It's a good way. Or if you run into water, of course, your electronics will go out on you.
Yeah.
So sometimes it's difficult to roll the window down, or if you are in submerged in water, it's hard to open the door. So that tool is a really good way too as well.
So I don't know whether you'd be interested in this or not, but I don't know why, but I've actually been in trouble as a child for breaking windows and glass.
Dustin!
It didn't hurt anybody, and I learned my lesson, and I had to go to what they called teen court because I did it. So
Dustin.
I'm airing my dirty laundry out there. I paid my my dues, I guess, if you will. The next vehicle that I send to the junkyard, I need to drop by the station here and let you break one of the windows in it.
I have a feeling it's not as easy as
it's
one would
not.
Think.
It's extremely tough, and that was, I guess, my point. I can remember a news article of a guy in a salvage yard, and he actually had a hammer. And he was, there was I think he was doing an article on thieves, basically, mm-hmm. and how easy they could just run up and knock the window out.
Uh-huh.
Well, he's banging on the center of this window, which, and I mean, he's giving it the beans. I mean, he's really getting after it with a hammer. And ended up, the window comes off the track and falls down in the door. It never did break during his news article. My point is it's difficult to break a tempered piece of glass like that, and clearly that's a construction or a manufacturer issue, and this one sounds like they ID'd what it was.
I apparently lied to you, so
they are
not doing a voluntary recall for it, but they're planning a product update campaign that are going to look at replacing the affected parts this spring.
So, unfortunately, the people that don't have a broken window probably are not going to get a broken window replacement.
Well, and the crazy part is they said that this is an issue in almost all of the brand new 2023 HRVs.
And you know that's not a cheap piece of glass. I guarantee that's not $50.
Well, and then also the HRV, the price of them is $24,100. Mm. So when you're paying that type of money, and it's a 2023, so relatively new, you wouldn't expect something like that to happen with a brand new vehicle.
I think this goes back to my rant earlier about the part quality being such a problem, even at the OE level, you know.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Sarah, I know you've heard it till I'm blue in the face that you are, as a consumer, the beta test for these vehicles.
Exactly.
And so they don't know they have these problems until, you know, they have, I don't know how many thousands of units out there. And then they got to figure out what to do with thousands of bad engineered or developed problems.
Right.
You know, my dad was in the glass business after he got out of the auto body business. It was a natural kind of progression. That was kind of part of the auto body, is dealing with some glass repairs. So I've had a lot of exposure to quality control of how to do the job, and could I be a glass glazer, which is the technical term for a glass technician? Yeah, I could. I mean, that's in my wheelhouse of my bag of tricks that I know how to do. That's not really what A1 Custom does. I bring all that up because I've been around and dealt with a lot of glass, and if you're blowing out a tempered piece of glass, it's typically fairly violent as well. I mean, it literally crumbles into little bitty pieces so you don't get cut as a piece of plate glass would. And then I talked about laminate glass earlier. Laminate is a pretty neat thing. It is two pieces of glass glued together with plastic in between them. And when you cut laminate glass, you actually pour some kind of flammable. We used isopropyl alcohol to weaken. Once you cut on both sections of glass in the exact same spot, you would heat that area up, and then you would be able to pull the glass apart. So, I know a fair amount about it. I'm interested in seeing what that little glass breaking tool that you have.
Yeah, I'll have to bring it in sometime to show it to you.
I think we should give it a go. Maybe we could do a video or something, put it out there so people would know. Typically, and what the guy that I talked about in the news article was doing wrong, he was hitting in the dead center of the glass.
Uh-huh.
And that is really the strongest part of it. Not that you couldn't chuck a heavy rock or baseball through it. You can. The corners of the glass are what's the weakest. So if you're ever in a dangerous situation that maybe you have one of those tools or some kind of pointed object, you want to focus towards the corners of the glass to get you out of there. You can bang on the center of the glass, especially if the window's rolled all the way up, and it will take a pretty good beating. But if you get down there to the corner, or if the window can or happens to be rolled down a little bit and you can strike the edge of the glass, that's really where you're going to get the product rupture.
Now, I know that some vehicles do this. I don't know if it's a standard in most now, mm-hmm. but I know it, at least in a lot of Dodges, that you were able to actually take off the car seat headrest mm-hmm. and you're able to break the glass that way. Yep. I don't know if that is something that is integrated in most vehicle brands now.
So we ran into this, and I'm more familiar with this. We have Brinley is special needs, autistic. So a lot of stimulation while we're driving is really important for her.
Mm-hmm.
And so fastening a device to the back of the headrest, there's a lot of pieces of equipment that hook to those little rods that stick down. Now, the last vehicle, the Excursion that we had, it did not have those rods in it.
Really?
It was molded. The seat was molded. The headrest was in the seat. And so Stacy went through all kinds of things trying to find some way to mount a device there. So she had some stimulation while we took her to the doctor and different things. Now that we're primarily using the Duramax, it has those. So I can tell you the new GMs, a lot of them, you can still remove the headrest and use it as a braking object to get that out. But you look inside a car, most of it is plastic anymore. There's very little metal and steel in there.
That's interesting.
And that has worked out really good for us. But I think that's a really good point that you bring that up, that you could potentially save yourself.
I think that's why Dodge did that for the longest time. And like I said, I don't know if other vehicles implement that.
I know, you know, it just depends make and model. You have to see kind of what your vehicle is. I'd be curious about some of the Asian models, whether they do it. I know the older Hondas did. I'm a taller fella, and sometimes that headrest matters to me. And in those instances, I know the older Hondas did. We have a Pilot in our fleet as well. I'll have to look at the Hyundai and Kia because the kids both drive Hyundai and Kia. So now you got me curious out there whether that's a...
You're going to start checking all the vehicles now.
You know, so I know we got just a little bit of time. There was a young man drove through flooding water close to my house this last spring. Not now, but about a year ago. And he didn't want to call his parents. And so he got out and he had a friend come and get him. Well, the door was open on the truck. It had washed the truck down. You could still see it from the low water crossing, but they were deathly concerned that he had been swept away. So that is a legit deal. You know, that can happen. You can get trapped in your vehicle. He was fine, by the way. The truck was not. It was complete total loss once you flood him that bad. It was a nice, probably late 90s Dodge half-ton regular cab. And I'm not a big, you know, everybody knows I pick on Dodge, but those trucks, the engine was pretty good in them. Transmission was mediocre at best. Electrical, styling was really cool. I really like how those late 90s Dodges really, they were a trendsetter for sure, kind of given that rounded body style. It's a shame to see one that was in such great shape basically be, you know, sent to the proverbial scrapyard, if you will, because of a flood that he did not turn around and he tried to drive through on the water. I always hate that part of it.
Well, real quick, we have about 3 minutes left. I have another recall alert. This one's for Toyota. Toyota is urging the owners of about 50,000 vehicles not to drive their cars due to an airbag issue that could cause serious injury or even death. The airbags in the affected vehicles are under an urgent airbag safety recall because they are involved in the Takata airbag recalls. Now, the automaker said Thursday in a do not drive advisory, they said that the driver or passenger of these affected vehicles could potentially face serious injuries or death if the airbag deploys because the vehicles have a part more likely to explode or shoot sharp metal fragments out. Now, the warning, it covers some 2003 to 2004 models of the Corolla, Matrix cars, as well as some of the RAV4 vehicles from the model years of 2004 and 2005.
Those have been on the road quite a while.
Yeah, and I know that Takata, they have just had one recall after another. So it sounds like it's just
added
to the list.
Bankrupt that company at some point, you would
think. It has to, because I feel like every couple of months I'm adding a new vehicle to that list.
And it's not been any particular manufacturer.
No,
everybody.
It's everybody. Yeah, because this is Toyota and they're typically known to be a little more sturdy, if you will, than some vehicles. But yeah, they were affected I'll make sure to put both of these recalls. I know we went through them kind of quick. I'll put them up at KSGF.com under the podcast section with today's show notes.
Awesome.
All right. Well, believe it or not, but we are officially out of show. If you're out there in radio land, you have a question or a comment for us, feel free to text us on our text line. That phone number is 417-447-5743. Once again, that is 417-447-5743. Or feel free to reach out to us on our social media. That is at 1041KSGF. Dustin, I hope you have a good rest of your weekend.
You as well. Be safe out there.
Bye.